Hey guys, this is Steve the Scout, and I am joined by Austin Smith. We are the host of the Pro Football Scouting Show, and we are here today to talk about defensive line prospect Quinnen Williams, a guy that is anticipated to probably go in the top five picks in this year's NFL draft. So we're going to break down the player today, tell you really how good we think he can be at the NFL level. And also answer the question: Is he a surefire thing? Meaning, is he a lock that he is gonna be a very good, maybe great player at the next level? And really, essentially, what I'm saying is being worth being picked in the top five. This show is brought to you by Pigskin Nut. This is Pigskin Nut Radio. We are the football news that you've been missing. We have coverage of all 32 NFL teams, every major college football conference, the NFL draft, player profiles, and scouting reports. Also, in just a few days, we're going to be adding scores and standings to our site, as well as giving you more X's and O's articles than anyone else, and Pigskin Nut Radio. When you're tired of going to football websites that give you lukewarm information and don't give you everything you want on the game that you love, come to pigskinnut.com, because again, we are the football news that you've been missing. So, Austin, let's talk about Quinnen Williams, because virtually in every mock draft, you know, we're looking at, he's being talked about, you know, as one of those top five guys. So, to make this just digestible today, and we're going to show some game footage, for those of you that can see this, on video, if you're listening to this on radio, definitely come check out our YouTube channel and, you can see this, in video as well. So, Let's talk about him. First of all, let's just go value. Austin, based on, you know, the tape you've watched of Quinnen Williams, value-wise, if you're a GM, where does it make sense to draft this guy? Obviously, it's in the first round, but where?
As soon as possible. to be honest with you, coming off that combine performance, I really wondered if all the different numbers would live up to the tape. We weren't, I know we've talked about Ed Oliver being like, Quinnen Williams, you could definitely tell he wasn't the prototypical 310, 320-pound DT. You wondered, what the weight might be. You wondered about the size. You wondered about, are the test numbers going to live up to the same explosive monster that we saw in video? And when we came out of the combine, my big thing was, I could honestly understand if he got into the Arizona Cardinals conversation. I mean, I really think Nick Bosa is a terrific fit there for them. But if somebody said, no, Arizona's going Quinnen Williams one, I wouldn't turn my nose up to it. I really wouldn't. This is a guy that looks like he's going to come into the NFL as ready to succeed as anybody in college football. And that includes Nick Bosa. I mean, I think Nick Bosa and him are right there. Maybe Bosa's got a slight edge to him. And, I wonder if maybe we don't contribute that just a little bit to the fact that we've already kind of seen what his brother does. There's so much similarities to that, that maybe we've almost kind of got a crystal ball because he's got an older brother already playing in the league. But, I'll say this much. Quinnen Williams has done everything to this point to put himself in the conversation to be the top player picked. And, if he gets out of the top five, which I've seen mock drafts out there that do have him getting out of the top five, if that happens, then somebody is just going to absolutely get a steal for a football player, because I think this guy's walking in the league and he's immediately having an impact.
Yeah, he is an immediate game wrecker. There are guys in this first round that I think can be game wreckers in time. But I don't think they're going to be right out of the gate. Josh Allen's one of those guys. Montez Sweat, we talked about, it's one of those guys. But when you want to talk about Quinnen Williams and where he belongs in the draft, it's a top five pick. For me, there's a lot of reasons why. Number one, he has a home run can't miss prospect, because There's just when you want to talk about what his weaknesses are, combined with the tape watching, he's gonna succeed. He just is. And the first thing that we'll kind of talk about that I see with him, and Austin, you know, tell me a little bit about kind of what you see with that get off, is that he explodes out of his stance, and when he needs to play with leverage, he is usually the low man winning, and his get off is so fast that, you know, he could be on the outside and he can quickly move to the inside on a quality athletic offensive lineman, and you know, that explosion and that quickness and that get off is something that I just think when you look at that characteristic, it's one of the best I've seen from a defensive tackle in a few years. What do you see when you look at him getting off, his get off there on the football?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's got as much explosion. I mean, we talked about a few nights ago about Ed Oliver and just how explosive he is off the snap of the football. And, you know, Quinnen Williams is right there. I mean, Ed Oliver's extremely special at 287 pounds. At 303 pounds, Quinnen Williams is right there in the same class. He just he's got so much power in his lower body. And, you know, we saw that at the combine. We saw him put up a 30-plus vertical jump for a guy over 300 pounds. We saw him, you know, 112 on the broad jump. Didn't necessarily see some of the change of direction drills. But just out of his stance, I mean, the ability to shoot a gap, you know, with timing the snap. I mean, if I'm an offensive lineman, I'm crossing my fingers that he lines up over me, because that gives me that much better of a chance to block him. Even though he's just as powerful, he converts speed to power extremely well with that get off. I mean, he gets into you and all of a sudden it goes from explosion to those legs driving, and all of a sudden you're on skates heading back to the quarterback if you're an offensive lineman. But my goodness, when he's in a gap, there are times where you see offensive linemen just reaching over and trying to wrap him up, just trying to keep him from exploding into the backfield and hitting a running back before the ball gets to him, or hitting the quarterback before he even gets his head turned. So that first step quickness that's the first thing you look for in a defensive line prospect, in my opinion. It's something I think defensive linemen can live without, but if they've got it, and you know, their floor starts so high if they've got that initial explosion, and he's got it.
Yeah, he absolutely has it. And you know, again, you know, I've seen just so many times where, you know, he's lined up on the outside shoulder, and he gets to the inside before the guy can even get his hands on him. And we're talking about a big boy that can do that. Out of curiosity, you know, something I read that I think I heard some people say would be a weakness is actually his power. I think some people criticized him for not doing the bench press. I don't know exactly why that is. Not here to discuss that, but I'll tell you this. I've seen everything I need to see from his power on the game tape. Because I'll tell you what I see when he fires his hands. I saw this against LSU, and I saw this against pretty much every game tape I watch. He hits you so hard, these guys actually freeze. I am not kidding. Like it is like, holy Jesus! Like that's what happens when he uses his power on you. You know, I mean, I've just seen guys get their head rocked back, like, you know, it's going to detach from their body. Do you see the same power from him, or do you think maybe some of these concerns are valid, that maybe, you know, he doesn't have, you know, maybe the power people think he has?
You know, power can be such a, I don't know, it's a tricky eval, because if you ask me, are his hands powerful? Boy, you bet they are. I mean, this guy with his punch, yeah, I see it like you do. I mean, this guy's got the ability to absolutely put an offensive lineman who's on balance to put him to knock him off balance with one hand. I mean, he really does a good job, and his arms are not short. I mean, for being 6'3", he's got over 33-inch arms. I mean, you know, we talk about long arms, you know, for an offensive lineman on the edge, you're hoping it's 34 minimum. Well, I mean, the guys on the inside don't necessarily play with that same your arm length. So, I mean, 33-inch arms at 6'3" is a very good reach, and you see him use it because, you know, he uses his hands so well, and when they land, you see offensive linemen, like I say, that initially they're on balance, and then boom, a shoulder's being knocked back, and suddenly now I'm having to regain my balance, or I'm having to kind of get in my back pedal a little bit to kind of reestablish my core strength and my balance. And if you're backpedaling against a guy like Williams, he's just going to keep taking you that way. The other thing I'll say about his power that's kind of tricky, Val, is let me tell you something. There's few guys in this draft, and I mean, even when he gets the NFL, I don't see it changing. When this guy's got leverage on you, when he is underneath you, I mean, you're not going to slow him down. I mean, and that's that power in that lower half, you know. So is he powerful in his hands? I see it. Is he powerful in his lower half? I mean, go watch the tape. There's plenty of you know, examples of this guy getting underneath an offensive lineman, and that poor offensive lineman just, I got to hold him, or I got to try and sling him to the ground, or basically I just got to collapse behind in front of him and hope that he trips over me, because when this guy gets under you, the power shows. Now, is this a guy that maybe I don't see the same upper body power that he's got. Maybe that could improve at the next level. But, I mean, how many NFL draft prospects do we talk about every year that we say, boy, just one offseason in an NFL weight room, and that guy's going to be playing at his new playing weight. And with Quinnen Williams, sure, could he add maybe, you know, 5 to 10 pounds of bulk in his upper torso and his chest? And
easily.
Sure he could. But to say he's not a powerful player, let me tell you something. If he's under you, he's a powerful player. If he's getting that initial punch on you, he's a powerful player. So there's power there. To say it's a weakness. Is it an area that could make him that much better if he were to acquire it? Sure. Is it a weakness? I don't believe it is at all.
Yep. And you know, and thanks for clarifying with his arm measurement, because that, you know, it's something interesting we also saw with Aaron Donald as well. I mean, he's taller than Aaron Donald, but, you know, one of the things that made Aaron Donald makes him so special is that outside of the football player and the get off and everything else, is that his arms are a lot longer than what his height would make you think, which just makes him all that more dangerous. And you know, I agree. I mean, Quinnen Williams, you know, you look at the power, he's got it. Now something that we're seeing, as you know, a lot of the top guys in this draft this year, maybe the other guy I don't see it with is Bosa, but you know, what makes a guy an NFL ready, a big part is not getting stuck on blocks. What I like from him as well, and I'm sorry to keep making about all the things I like, but look, at the end of the day, NFL scouts, you're trained to find the good things. Fans, sometimes we're trained to say what's bad. So it's always about figuring out what a player can do, but you can also talk about what they can do. But he can do just so much. And when I look at his hands, this is a guy that, you know, doesn't get stuck on blocks. I mean, maybe there's tape out there that I, you know, haven't seen. I mean, yeah, sometimes. But typically, I'm seeing this guy as a guy that really disengages very well, and is fundamentally good with his hands. One of the things that makes him NFL ready. You seeing some of those same things, or maybe it's an area he has to work on? Kind of, what's your evaluation of how he uses those hands?
Now, you know, for starters, you know, you're talking about just being able to stay off blocks. You know, I always go back to this with Quinnen Williams. It makes me smile every time I think of it. When you go back and you hear about his teammate, Jonah Williams, who's another top prospect in this class, and they asked him, what's it like to block Quinnen Williams? And he tells you, imagine trying to block a life-size bar of soap, wet soap. And it just makes you laugh because it's like, wow, if ever there were something that wouldn't be easy to block. And that's what I see with Quinnen Williams in a lot of these tapes. I mean, go back to watch the LSU tape. I thought LSU handled his initial success as good as anybody I'd seen. I mean, this was a team that didn't always allow him to shoot a gap or didn't always allow him to fire off and get under us. You know, there were times as a pass and pass protection that, man, they really did a good job of protecting initially. And then all of a sudden, one foot gets stuck in the ground and he's going the other way. And his hands are you know, they're moving with his feet. You know, anytime you can coordinate your footwork and your handwork when you're rushing the passer, you know, it's going to keep you on balance. It's going to make it that much more difficult for the offensive lineman to mirror you. And that's what I saw. I'd see a guy that would initially get blocked, and then all of a sudden, boom, he changes direction, and now he's off the block. Or better yet, he showed good awareness. He says, okay, you know what, you've got me. Where's that quarterback sliding up? Oh, there it is. Bang. And all of a sudden, he just fires into action. This is just a guy that he is so active, I think. His hands are so active. His feet are so active that it makes it hard, even if you've initially got him blocked, to keep him blocked. And more importantly, one thing I've talked about with him too is giving the offensive lineman a target. Obviously, offensive linemen, they want to get right here. They want to get right in here when they block you. And this is a guy that just says, absolutely not. I'm going to continuously work my torso. I'm going to continuously make it difficult for you to hit me square in my chest and stop my forward progress. He's just constantly in action. There's constantly hands moving, the torso's twisting, the feet are moving. And, I mean, if you're lucky enough to get an initial punch on him, it doesn't last long. If you're not so lucky, then you're just hoping that you can do something to at least stay in his way. That's the whole answer to the question on how he has so much success at getting off blocks. It's just the constant motor and the constant activeness from, like I say, from his feet, from his hands, from his torso. That is probably his most impressive trait to me. It's his ability to get off blocks or to keep from being blocked simply by staying active.
Yeah, and that's one of the big things, you know, I've seen as well, is that, you know, his hands and his feet are always active, and you know, he just always has a good feel for that play, and he just is able to make so many. I mean, I don't know how to say this, but with his feet and his hands, he's able to make so many mid-play adjustments with ease, and that's something that I've seen over and over again. I don't know if that's an actual, you know, what do you call that as a trait, but that's just one of those like little itty bitty things that it makes him good. You know, another thing that I've seen from this guy, and maybe, you know, people don't look at ability to diagnose as much as, you know, a middle linebacker or a quarterback or a cornerback, but this guy has good anticipation of what they're doing. He diagnoses, and a lot of times it seems, I know he has a good get off, but I think he knows where he needs to be and he has a good idea of what's coming. And I don't care what position you play, you always value something like that.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Awareness is, you know, another person we talked about the other day, gosh, I got to think back. Was it Rashawn Gary, I think? And it really kind of – that was one of the knocks I had on him, is how many times is the ball being run to the gap just to his right or just to his left – And yes, there's an offensive lineman between him and that gap, and that's not his responsibility necessarily, that gap. But you don't see necessarily the awareness to, oh, the ball's coming right here. Now let's figure out anything I can do to get free and maybe trip a guy up or get at least a hand on the jersey to slow him up. You know, anything I can do to help the play out, knowing that I've got my responsibility taken care of. And sometimes I wonder, does he even realize the ball's coming there? And with Quinnen Williams, that's just not the case. This is a guy that just, I mean, whether it's just his eyes or just his reads, understanding that this offensive lineman is clearly trying to get me to turn this way, which means that ball is probably not too far on his backside is where they're attempting to go. And so getting my eyes in the backfield and understanding, okay, then if that's the case, this is what I should be seeing. Oh, there it is. You know, his awareness is just is an absolute strength for him. And you see it. We talked about it with the last thing, him ability to get off blocks. How many times does he make plays off the blocks? I mean, how many times is he rushing up the field? The quarterback steps up into the gap just to the other side, to his right, and all of a sudden, boom, he's slamming on the brakes, coming back under, and he's got himself a sack, or he's getting to the quarterback right as he gets back to the line of scrimmage because, hey, I diagnosed it. I got upfield. I realized they were trying to turn me. I saw the quarterback step up, and I changed my direction. He just it's crazy to say that sometimes you wondered if he absolutely knew what the play was before it started, because it's almost like he syncs up with it. He times it perfect to cover my responsibilities and then, boom, flash into the gap where the ball's being run or where the quarterback's stepping up. But we saw that a lot this year. I mean, you know, there was a, like I say, the LSU tape comes to mind. I know he had a couple of sacks in that one, you know, or at least quarterback hits, and they weren't necessarily on first efforts. That was what was happening. He was seeing something with his eyes, and then boom, he gets off the block and he's getting to it. That awareness for a defensive lineman, that's not the same as a linebacker who gets to kind of sometimes sit back and see it without somebody in his face. You're on the defensive line, somebody's in your face all the time. Unless something goes completely wrong in the scheme, then you've always got somebody in your face. So the ability to constantly be in, you know, hand combat and working your feet and everything and still be able to use your eyes or use your feel for the game to diagnose where the ball's going to be coming, that's a special trait, and it's just another one that, like I say, that will translate to the NFL. That's not college specific. That is something that is going to make him a great player in the NFL from day one.
Yep, and ultimately, what do you want with an interior defensive lineman when you draft him that high? And I'll say this, with his anticipation, his ability to diagnose, his mental processing, how quick his hands are, how accurate his hands are when he uses it, how powerful his punches, the explosion out of the stance, the leverage and everything. You know what that all leads to when you add up that math equation, it equals to splitting, it equals to beating the double team. So you see his ability to split the center and the guard. That's similar stuff to what we saw from Aaron Donald when he played at Pitt, and that makes him special. And his ability to do that, not just to take on the double team, but to actually split them. I mean, when he's shooting the gap and closing in after shooting the gap, that is special.
Absolutely. You know, beating the double team's never easy, and a lot of time it has just as much to do with your motor and, you know, what's beating inside you as it does your technique and your ability. And, you know, fortunate for him, he's got great ability and he's got a heck of a motor. I mean, this is a guy, let's be honest, by the end of the season, there was no doubt how good this football player was. I mean, if I'm not even mistaken, I think he may have even ended up in the top 10 in the Heisman voting. I think it was around 8 or something, if I'm not mistaken. By the end of the year, we knew how good a football player Quinnen Williams was. And Oklahoma and Clemson knew it too. I mean, Oklahoma and Clemson were constantly identifying him. Okay, if we're going to have success, we've got to get him blocked. There was plenty of double team blocks. Like I said, I keep bringing the LSU tape up because that's the one that I think was really where I started to open my eyes to this guy as a prospect. Against LSU, you know, a number of double team blocks. And you and I, think, talked about one play early where, I mean, the center snaps it. The guard immediately goes to punch him. He's white swim. And the second he gets off that one, it's a left swim on the center. And I've got a double team beat at the snap of a finger like that. And it's like, wow, that's incredible. I mean,
he's got a game plan. Something that a lot of these great defensive prospects that are going to go in the first round don't have at this point. He has that game plan.
Absolutely, he does. And it's just, you know, so good with, like I say, you know, and we go back to the same things. Just the constant keeping your hands and feet active makes you constantly capable of being able to use a club, a rip, a swim, you know, shoot your hands in and give them that quick yank. You know, just all the different techniques you can use, they're available to you when your hands and your feet are moving. When you're constantly staying active like that, you know. And then the other part of it is just the motor and the desire. This is a guy who is hungry for the football. And I hate to knock on Rashawn Gary because we said so many positive things about him yesterday. But that was another area where, you know, the closer the ball gets to you, even if it's not within your range to make a play, I want to see that guy who's hungry. I want to see a guy that's just gonna dig and climb to get through a double team, to crawl and just reach out and see if I can trip up that back ankle just to, you know, do anything to be part of the play, to be part of the tackle. Quinnen Williams, that's who he is. He wants to be involved in the play. I mean, I tell you right now, I'm sure this was a guy when he was younger. I wonder if he played defensive line, because this was probably a guy that would rush two steps, see that the ball's going the other way, and all of a sudden he'd just take off. And coach is like, no, we want you to do this. He's like, coach, the ball's going that way. That's where I'm going. But your response, I mean, responsibilities weren't his first priority when he was younger, I'm sure. But you see it, though. You see a guy that just wants to help the play out, no matter how far it is away from him, no matter who's blocking him. You know, the closer it gets, the hungrier he gets, even when he's double-teamed. And I tell you, you know, that comes into play with double-team blocks just as much as the techniques do. And he's got the techniques. He's got the motor. He's got the hunger. Just, you know, once again, you know, another thing that we look at, and, you know, it's another star on the board for why I want this guy to be on my football team if I'm an NFL team picking in the top 5.
Yep. And I mean, what else is there to say? I mean, you know, he is who he is, and, whatever team gets him, he's going to be a plug and play game changer. We're gonna take a quick 30 seconds. We're gonna be quick this time. Tell me really quick. Give me one pro player comparison. Maybe people can look at, or maybe even a combination of a couple guys.
You know, the explosiveness is there for some of the more explosive DTs in the league. I don't know if there's any one player I look at him and say, yeah, I see that guy. Guys like, I mean, Jarrell Casey, and even to an extent, Aaron Donald. I mean, you see the explosiveness. You see the ability to immediately penetrate. You know, one guy, and I kind of mentioned this to you earlier, one guy that I see, if we want to back it up a generation and talk about a guy that had some similar, and we call them strength question marks, simply because of his build, not because of what we saw on tape, not because of the way he played, because he was a powerful player in the NFL. But was he the 315, 320, 30-pound defensive tackle? No, he wasn't. And that's Leroy Glover. I remember watching Leroy Glover, and there was long arms. Wasn't necessarily the biggest DT, but he was explosive. He could shoot a gap. He could hold his ground. He was a hand fighter. He was a constant get off a block and make a play, change direction and make a play guy. That's someone I see a little bit of in him. But like I say, you know, this guy's got a lot of positive things going in his direction. I don't know if there's a player that I just specifically point him out and say, yeah, that's who he's going to be.
It's funny. You mentioned the guys that I was actually thinking of. I was thinking Aaron Donald and Jarrell Casey, and really more like Aaron Donald, the get off, the get off that he doesn't have Aaron Donald's get off. Look, he's got a great get off, but I went back and watched Donald's tape at Pitt. I thought his get off was better. I think Donald does have a better nose for getting to the quarterback when I just go back and look at the tape. So to me, he's going to give you 75% to 80% of what Aaron Donald does. And you know, at the end of the day, what that's worth, that's still worth a top five pick, because 80% of Aaron Donald, you know, is someone that can take over a game. 80% of Aaron Donald is like Geno Atkins. So let's be realistic with how impressive that is. So that's my comp with him. But this guy is a home run, can't miss prospect. You heard it here from Austin Smith and Steve the Scout. Austin, parting words real quick.
And, you know, let me just say this too. This is also a guy that was a full-time starter for the first time this year. I mean, it may be a scary thought. His best football could be ahead of him. We talk about a lot of these high-risk, high-reward guys like the Josh Allens, the Montez Sweats, these guys that Rashawn Gary's another one that have got so much high potential, but they just haven't reached it yet. This is a guy, it's funny to think, oh, well, he's reached his potential. But then you look back and you see, oh, he made 15 starts this year. He only made 9 as a redshirt sophomore or a redshirt freshman, and he actually only played in 9 games, weren't even 9 starts. This is a guy, let's be realistic, his best football still could be ahead of him. So that's something, you know, to think about that, hey, it's scary for offensive linemen in the NFL to think, wow, that guy's got room to get better and he's coming to the NFL next year, but it's not out of the picture.
Nope, absolutely not. And look, Aaron Donald's gotten better every year he's been in the league. So, and, you know, look at his college tape. So, all right, guys, that wraps up everything for today. I am Steve Fishkin, a.k.a. Steve the Scout. This is Austin Smith. This is the Pro Football Scouting Show. We just broke down Quinnen Williams for you. This is our first YouTube video. Stay tuned for more scouting reports on players in this year's NFL draft. Steve the Scout and Austin Smith, we are leaving the building.